Welcome, everybody, to episode 350.
Woo-hoo.
A milestone there of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2019. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by John James Jacoby. And we made it through another April Fool's Day on the web.
Barely.
Just barely. National Take the Day Off the Internet Day.
Yeah, you pretty much have to survive at this point. There's just too much stuff going around. I mean, there were some things that, like, every year someone reminds me that, like, Gmail was introduced on April Fool's Day. Like, Google Mail. Like, oh, yeah, cool. That makes sense. But
so did you see the news about the Impossible Whopper? The Burger King made a huge deal with the Impossible Meat folks, and they're going to have a plant-based – they're going to use their product and do a plant-based Whopper. And that was released on April Fool's. Now, I checked various news outlets, and it seems to be the real deal, or else, you know, I wouldn't imagine some major news outlets all posting the same information. But then again, we live in an era of fake news, so who knows what's real?
I mean, I'm sure it'll taste just fine. Like, a lot of
I'm ready to try it.
Yeah, me too. A lot of that meat ends up tasting usually better than regular beef meat ends up tasting. So. Yeah.
Once it comes out, I'm definitely down to give it a try. So, you know, I was just thinking the other day, John, that we haven't had a lot of WordPress drama in a while. And, you know, but in the WordPress space, it's a matter of when, not if. So, but holy moly, there's a couple of pretty big stories that happened within the past week or two. And the first one is about a company called PipDig. Mm-hmm. PipDig is a small commercial theme company that has a plugin called PipDig Power Pack, or the P3 plugin. And last week, WordFence threat analysis, Mikey Veenstra published a report with code examples of the backdoors PipDig built into their plugin, along with some questionable additions to the code. Basically what it comes down to is the plugin had a what they call a kill switch, which could be used to reset a site to its pretty much a default install. It also had a code inside the plugin that would create a sort of a small scale DDoS attack on a competitor's website by activating a cron job pointed to this competitor's site's Ajax that PHP file. And there's a lot of unsavory things that was going on within the PipDig plugin. Jem Turner, she's a freelance web developer based in the UK, did a pretty deep dive into the P3 plugin and pretty much showed how the DDoS attack takes place. The owner of the company of PipDig, he came out, or the creative director, Phil Clothier, he published a public response basically saying that no, they don't DDoS competitor sites, they don't kill sites, they don't have the ability to kill sites via the PipDig Power Pack, but in further updates by WordFence, they pretty much published what they found, the evidence to support the fact that that those allegations are untrue, that they in fact do those things. All in all, this is it doesn't look good for PipDig. And after all this, in fact, they actually cleaned the repo and 3 years of commit history, and they published a new version, 4.8.0, and I think there's an even newer one, 4.9.0, that's available on their on the directory. So they tried to. It's weird that a company would do a scrub like that if they didn't do anything wrong,
right?
So there's that, and it's. You know, and I was telling you, John, in the years of covering WordPress stuff, I don't believe we've ever written a story or there's been a company in the WordPress space that has allegedly done these things where they build in these back doors, they build in the kill switches and actually doing small-scale DDoS attacks on competitor sites and inserting links. Now, well, actually inserting links, that's kind of a practice by web hosts and some other companies. Like, for example, changing the default Hello World post to a post that contains links to documentation or whatever, sure. You know, on their web host. Yep. But there is a lot of very untrustworthy things here. And as Sarah mentions in the article, that this kind of shines a spotlight on how unregulated the commercial, or even just in general, the plugin and theme ecosystem is in WordPress, and how little power that users have for when companies decide to do these things, to sort of abuse their power in their relationship with their customer sites.
Yep. Yeah, it was really interesting, not only to see Jem's deep dive into all of the individual little ways that the P3 plugin was doing kind of just weird things, but then their response, I thought, made it even a little bit weirder. Like, which maybe I can let you talk about, because I know you wanted to talk about that. But the code is, I mean, when I first saw this, I was like, well, maybe some, like, my first thought was that the folks over at Pipdig genuinely didn't do anything wrong, but that someone else had maybe, like, taken their code, because it wasn't available on WordPress.org. They had built in their own backdoors into that code, and then started distributing up their own hacked version of the P3 plugin. And so in that circumstance, the Pipdig folks would respond and they would go, hey, I don't know what you're talking about, man. Our code doesn't do any of that stuff. But then there would be a popular distribution of their same plugin masquerading as them. That wasn't theirs. That was, you know, all hacked bits on the inside of it. But their response to everyone discovering these things doesn't make it look like that is the case. So, I mean,
no, the kill switch is interesting. He built in the kill switch. Clothier claims that the function was available in the P3 plugin in July of 2018. When a third party started posting their themes for sale and doing previews of their themes for sale on a different site. And he says, quote, that a third party was able to download all of their themes illegitimately and post them on a clone of their own site. This included previews of their themes and the ability to purchase them. We were first alerted to this by people which had purchased a Pipdig theme from there, but were finding that certain features did not work correctly. After investigation, we found that the victim had purchased the theme from the third party, thinking it was us. The third party not only gained the financial benefit of the theme payment, but also used it as a way to inject malware and ads into the victim's site. The reset function was put in place in order to remove the third party's ability to host preview sites with our themes. It worked, and they have since disappeared. The function was then removed in a later version of the plugin, end quote.
So it's weird, right? It's like a lot of his
and by the way, this plugin is not on the official WordPress directory. Their right. theme is not in the official directory. So and it doesn't right. appear that their code is GPL licensed or compatible. So perhaps that's why they felt that they were able to get away with doing something like this.
That's true. But his responses in the response post seem very rational to me. Like, they just don't seem like good implementations or the right ways to solve a lot of the problems that they ran into. Like, the DDoSing on that one site was interesting. Like, I think Jem had posted screenshots even that they had given to her, like, having issues with their web host because everyone was just every hour hitting their URL, their admin ajax.php, with random, like...
Random user agents.
Right. Like, there's not a lot of rational reason to do that to somebody's website unless you were really trying to... Unless that person had, you know, did they punch you first and are you punching back? I mean, you don't know, but either way, it doesn't look right. And like the kill switch thing was interesting because like BB Press has a function in it to delete all of its own content. Like if you really just want to wipe your site clean of all of the forum content, you have to be an admin or a super admin. You have to have the right capabilities in the forums and on the site to do it. But it was a commonly requested thing. Was like if an import goes bad, or if an import dies in the middle and you don't want, and you need to start it over, whatever, that it was just convenient to have a function to just wipe the forum content clean and start over.
There's a huge difference between having it locally in the plugin and being able to do it remotely, which correct. In this case, apparently they were able to do a remote site deletion with this kill
switch.
Which is
like, again, like from a support perspective, if that's a thing that your support team continues to need to do on a regular basis to say like, look, we have a number of users that just don't, they need to start
you
over.
You don't want to renew your subscription? Bye-bye to your
site. Well, then, right. I mean, it is the wrong way to solve that particular problem. And it looks like, this is just my interpretation, and it isn't I don't know. But it doesn't look like the right way to solve those problems. I wouldn't solve those problems that way.
So the feedback on the Hipdig stuff from their customers has been interesting as well, because there are customers that have been with this company for at least, I guess, a few years, and they could, even despite all the allegations and the evidence that's been published so far, some customers are saying that they haven't had any issues with their company and that they trust mm-hmm. them and they're going to continue being their customer. And other customers are pretty upset that they're finding out that their site was used without their consent to participate in doing these small scale denial service attacks. Great. So I after all this, I don't know how Pipdig can remain mm-hmm. in business, but I imagine that their customers, maybe many of them have no idea what's going on. They're just going to continue on and continue update and be customers. But,
it all comes down, it comes down to like intent, I guess, like, and the, because the code wise, what Pipdig is trying to do, making requests out every hour is, although maybe a little bit excessive, like making remote requests in WordPress happens a million times a day. Like everybody's WordPress is phoning home to WordPress.org to look for updates, right? Like the idea of making a remote request to phone someplace and ask for something is essentially how every REST API works. And so functionally speaking, what they were doing was not any different than what happens all over the place, except the intention was bad. Like they were doing it to hurt someone instead of doing it to benefit somebody. And so like, it just, there's a lot not to like about the Pipdig situation. But, I agree. I thought it was really weird when I saw some of the responses from their user base seems pretty loyal. So they, in that regard, seem pretty lucky to have users that trust them. I don't want to be the person again that says anything bad like that about anyone. But at the same time, this is not good. This is not good. I mean, it's not.
So if you're a Pipdig customer, if you're using one of their themes or this plugin, the best thing you can do is A, update it to a newer version, which supposedly removes the code that was discovered in these findings, or B, switch to a different theme or to a different product, which
I know for many
people
out there,
it's not easy, it's not fun, it's not cheap, mm-hmm. but
I would just proceed with caution, right? It's risky any time. I mean, even though people say that the WordPress.org plugin and themes repos can kind of be a little bit of the Wild West, once you get off of there, it really truly is just the dark abyss of whatever you're installing. So that's why the Apple App Store exists. It's why there are sort of trusted areas where you can kind of pretty much be guaranteed that what you're installing is going to do what it says it's going to do. But this is the first, and it won't be the last, where somebody's plugin is kind of out there causing a lot of problems for folks.
Yeah, and on top of that, they even had code in there that if it detected certain plugins were activated, It would deactivate them, which other companies have kind of done. Usually it's more or less the lines of like a suggestion or, hey, we've noticed you have this plugin installed. You might want to disable it to avoid conflicts. But it seems like this plugin, the Pipdig, the PowerPack plugin, was actually just disabling them upon activation.
Right. And like there was when we were first re-releasing BB Press back in the day, it didn't really work very well with a lot of like the Genesis theme. Like the Genesis theme just kind of was doing things its own way. And for, you know, about 2 seconds, we were like, well, how, if someone installs BB Press, their theme is just going to be broken. But the right thing to do was just build support in for the Genesis theme. And so the first version of BB Press 2.0 came with Genesis support in core, because there were so many installs from Genesis that rather than deactivate it or rather than warn the user, it was just easier to build that functionality in. It was smoother. It was a better experience for users. And then eventually when it made sense, Jared Atchison pulled it out and made it a separate plugin for people that needed it. And then eventually Genesis was able to figure it out on their own side. And so, like, it's weird to me to just disable or deactivate other people's plugins. I mean, kind of, and I know we're going to talk about it later, but it's a bad deal to start. The only thing that we should be doing is like integrating with other people's plugins. We should not be, and we meaning the community of developers that are building plugins. It's not up to us to determine what other plugins are running on a WordPress site. We don't get to deactivate or turn plugins off or disable them. The only thing that we should be doing is figuring out how to write code that works with them together. But deactivating them, disabling them, that is a bad deal. By the way,
good job. I heard what you did there. You defined the we.
Yes.
See, that's a good habit to have.
It is a good habit.
Like everything that's going on here. Let's talk about, speaking of plugins, let's talk about a big plugin that's made a controversial, to say the least, addition. So Jetpack 7.1 was released earlier this month and included additional blocks, like a business hours block, contact info, slideshows. But one thing it added was suggestions to the plugin search screen. And this has caused a lot of controversy. So if you have Jetpack installed and you go to the add plugin screen and you type in a search term, let's say contact form or search, the first, if you have Jetpack installed and activated, the first result on the plugin search screen will actually be a suggestion that to use Jetpack because it has a module that covers that functionality. And there's a lot of nuances involved in this. So the core of the I believe that the core of the user problem that this is trying to solve is that Jetpack is one plugin, but it has 45 modules that covers a wide variety of use cases or features within WordPress. And let's say you're using Jetpack and you're using a couple of the modules and you find out, well, you want to add a certain piece of functionality to your site. You go and search and then, you know, Jetpack says, oh, by the way, we do that too. And so that user may not have known. So it's suggesting that, hey, you know, Jetpack already covers this. Maybe you should check this out. And depending on if you have the module installed, you know, there's a little green button that shows up in the plugin search results that says either get started, you can learn more. But then it really starts to get into a slippery slope when if you type in like video, it'll say Video Press is a service or Vault Press is a service, and it'll actually say purchase. So then it becomes more of an upsell rather than a suggestion. And actually the there's even some nuances in fact at the search. So when you're performing these searches somehow some call them hijacked, but they're being analyzed, they're being screened, or somehow they're triggering these keywords that appear in the Jetpack plugin and to show these sort of suggestions or search results. Now the result, it looks just like any other search result, except it's the first one And this has caused a lot of controversy in that a lot of people say that this sets a precedent for plugin authors or plugin developers to now hijack and take over the plugin search screen. And just, it just becomes one more billboard for plugin developers.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Don't like it at all. Is there no is there no use case or user problem that this that you could see here that that could be solved, or is it just, it's just not good either way? Messing around with plugin search results is just is like no bueno. You lay off.
I mean, it's like I think messing with search results is a bad deal in general across the board. And I know that we live in a world where you can go to Google and you can go to any search engine at all, anywhere on the web, type in a word, and you're going to see promoted results at the top, and you're going to see regular results underneath it. That we're all used to that, and that's something that we are we have accepted as reality. However, I don't use Google for that reason. I use DuckDuckGo because I don't want that in my life. And when it comes to WordPress plugins, again, very similar to the Pipdig situation, I think it's really, it's a bad deal to start taking the results of a search and just trying to influence what plugins from the repo that they should use based on you. Like if all I did was recommend all my own plugins, that is pretty seedy. That's a pretty sketchy deal.
And you know what's interesting about this as well is that there is already a tab on the plugin search screen for recommended.
There is.
And this is superseding that tab. It's not even on the tab that shows this recommended result.
And we've already been, I mean, I've brought up the idea and it has been shot down of like buy.org, at least in the past, of adding being able to add your own tabs to that screen, and the add plugin screen where you've got recommended and new or whatever, to be able to add John's plugins or EDD plugins or WooCommerce plugins there and be able to add a remote store there. There's no reason why Sugar Calendar's extensions couldn't be there instead of having its own separate screen, or Jetpack couldn't have its own add-ons there, or BuddyPress couldn't have its own components there. Like that's where plugins are. That's where we should be directing users that want to add a plugin or add functionality to their WordPress site. We have a whole dedicated section in WP Admin for adding functionality to sites. But because we can't add things or shouldn't add things there, we're forced to reinvent the wheel and add and create our own extension screens and pages, which fine, we all do it and it's okay. We shouldn't have to. And so like Jetpack choosing to do it on their own in this way goes against everything that we have been told not to do, and it does it in a way where the blinders are on a little bit from the supporters of people that think that what their Jetpack is trying to accomplish is the right thing, or that it can be iterated on, or anything else. And I get that, like, the Jetpack team felt like they were solving a legitimate user problem. But every time that I personally have an issue on track or am trying to communicate something that I think should happen, every immediate response is, and this is not just WordPress core track, but like the BBs or places on GitHub or whatever else, the response is prove it. Show me like that this is a concern. Show me that users are frustrated. Show me numbers. How many customer complaints do you get in a day that they're really struggling to find Jetpack components and functionality? Like, show me that, like, the number of support requests that come in, like show me a user like that really just gives up and crashes their site because they have Gravity Forms installed on top of Jetpack or whatever. Like, to me, that is not the problem. Like, the problem that Jetpack is attempting to solve is to recommend more Jetpack, like to keep them using Jetpack. It's not.
Well, how are we going to get to 50% without Jetpack? I mean,
so, you know, you
so,
joke.
So look, but, so Gary Pendergast chimed in on the conversation. He says, quote, I've been talking to some folks on Jetpack about what's going on. I think the team's end goal here is pretty good, and it solves a real problem WordPress has. Too often, site owners install masses of plugins that they don't need, which ultimately creates all sorts of security, performance, and stability issues. In this particular use case, if a site owner is looking for functionality that Jetpack already handles, then the owner should be aware of that, end quote. Now, how about this? Pendergast thinks that WordPress Core should offer an API for any plugin to be able to do something similar.
So this is a family-friendly show, but I'm going to quote Rarst and say bull farts on that one. Totally. Sorry, Gary, but like of all the problems that users do have in WordPress, this is not like a high priority issue. There are a million other issues that users have. This is not necessarily one of those. And like the whether or not the Jetpack team feels like they're solving a legitimate user issue is fine. I don't care. I assume, right? Like we're all assuming positive intent. It's fine. Everybody's trying their best. Okay, whatever. But this is a clear violation of the way that the WordPress.org plugin repository guidelines are written. And so Jetpack, it has a reputation over the years of skirting those guidelines, and they are doing it again in this scenario. Plain and simple. And so either the guideline needs to be changed, which I don't think it should. And if users installing too many plugins, like it is.
Well, you bring up the guidelines and Samuel Wood, who works on the meta team, he says it's not really advertising anything. It's just adding search results for pieces of a plugin that you already have and might not know about. So it's not really against any rules. And if it was misleading in some manner, then that would be different.
It is. It is misleading because it doesn't look like an ad. It doesn't say that it's an ad, and it's an ad. It's an ad for Jetpack and the features that come with
it. I was going to ask you, is it a suggestion?
It's an upsell.
Is it a recommendation or is it an ad?
It's an upsell for features that they might not already be paying for, like VaultPress or something else. And frankly, Gary backed himself into a corner a little bit with his comments about users installing too many plugins, because users should be able to install every single plugin in the repo if they want to. Like, if WordPress can't keep up with that, or the web host can't keep up with that, then you move, you change. But nobody stops you from installing every app in the App Store on your iPhone, or from, like, if your phone runs like crap, that's on you. You figure that out. Like, we're not there. WordPress isn't there to tell the user what they should or shouldn't do. And so Jetpack shouldn't do that either. And if Jetpack's going to do that, then do it all the way and eliminate plugin screen completely. And only let them run Jetpack, because like that's the goal here anyways. So just call it what it is and just have that be the ecosystem or the thing that they run. Like when BuddyPress first came out, everyone kind of liked it because it was opinionated. It forced you to run BuddyPress, like a BuddyPress theme, a default theme, and all those components. It took over your install, and that's what you got. Like if that's the goal, is to keep everyone in the Jetpack ecosystem and not let them install or not strongly suggest that you not install other forum plugins or other backup solutions or something else, then just don't let them do it. Like, just like it's sketchy and I don't like it, but at least just be open with what the intentions are, because the fact is that having 1,000 plugins installed doesn't make your site more insecure, because all it takes is one plugin or a core problem for the site to be insecure. Are you increasing your footprint for potential problems? Sure. But having them sitting there not active does nothing. Having them active might do very little. You don't know. It all depends on the plugin and what's running. But to me, it feels like Jetpack is recommending that people not install other plugins. And if any other plugin did it, I guarantee you, if Gravity Forms did it, if we did something like that at Easy Digital Downloads and said, hey, don't install WooCommerce, man. EDD's got you covered, dog. Someone would say, no, you're not allowed to do that. And that, I guarantee it. Like, it's like, and so aside from the fact that they're violating the guidelines that are on WordPress.org, aside from the fact that Jetpack has a reputation for already doing that over the years, and aside from the fact that the little card looks like Jetpack, it doesn't look like an advertisement, all of that is just icing on the cake of the fact that they shouldn't be messing with search results in the first place.
So like, really, it comes down to the core issue, the principle of the matter. Nobody, no plugin, nobody should be altering search results. Just that's the bottom line.
I mean, the search results they need to be trustworthy. Like they need to be pristine off of WordPress.org. Because if a plugin intercepts those results in order to manipulate them in some way, then they are not trustworthy. They are not pristine search results. And over the like, if what we want to do is improve the algorithm on WordPress.org, that is a technical problem that the Meta team or the .org team should be working on. If it's a relevancy issue where someone searches for Jetpack backups and gets five pages of things that have nothing to do with either Jetpack or backups, then that's a technical issue that should be worked on. But bumping your own plugin ahead of the results in an attempt to upsell the services that you provide, this is new territory. This is something that goes against the plugin guidelines.
I also think there's pushback on just the fact that so many of us and so many users are dealing with dashboard, billboard, advertisement fatigue.
Well, that,
where you just log in and everywhere you look, it almost feels like as a WordPress user, we're in the middle of a battle. The battlefield is the WordPress backend, and the people who are fighting these battles are plugin developers, theme authors, trying to make a living, trying to make a buck. And they're all using what space and what means are available to them. So it's contextual advertising, notices, dashboard notices, critical notices, which are actually just, announcing sales of a plugin or whatever. And to me, that's a real issue that needs to be addressed, is the notices and the advertising fatigue. And I think this is an experiment, and based on that, it's easy to see that if this is going to be allowed to continue, that if this is going to be just part of something that a plugin can do, we're going to end. Mm-hmm. It's quite possible that depending on the plugins you have installed, you could see rows and rows of plugin search results that aren't actually search results until you get to like halfway down the screen that are from WordPress.org.
Yep. I guess like the...
And just Jetpack, one more area for the plugin author or theme author to advertise.
Yeah, that's right. And like if you want to see WordPress be 23% of the web again, then this is what you do. Like, you annoy users to death. Like, and Jetpack is a different plugin with different goals in terms of what it does and how and where it connects into WordPress and why it needs to do those things. But the majority of plugins that are out there do a relatively okay job of like being self-contained. They give themselves their own top level menu item. They put all their junk in there. They don't necessarily overlap or intercept with a lot of the other screens, the setting screens or anything else. They don't maybe necessarily integrate themselves as deeply as they could. But this is one of those cases where, plugins are going to start really connecting into all of these other screens and areas where you won't know the difference. And not just in fatigue, but just in kind of being tricked. We're going to end up tricking users into thinking that WordPress.org's search results really do recommend Jetpack as the thing to use. That's what this looks like. This isn't hey, you already have something installed that does this. I know that's what they were trying to do. I know that's the problem, as what they were trying to convey. That was the problem they were trying to solve. But the reality is that this looks like WordPress.org recommending Jetpack instead. And
it gives the appearance that the Jetpack's built-in features either promote a listing or superior to everything else that's there.
That's right.
That's what it comes across as. Yep. So on the topic of suggestions, by the way, if you suggest that I do something, are you actually advertising that I do something? I'm just...
I have lots of suggestions for a lot of things, most of the time, nobody's really listening.
So in light of what's going on with Jetpack, and I don't know if this is in tandem, if they're working on this together. I mean, I imagine there might have been ideas about this internally, but WooCommerce is introducing extension suggestions in 3.6. Starting in WooCommerce 3.6, they're going to start suggesting relevant WooCommerce extensions to users based on details of their store. So what's going on here is that they're calling the feature a function marketplace suggestions. They are contextual mentions of official extensions that may be relevant to a customer. This includes all extensions on the official WooCommerce marketplace, which is open for submissions, by the way, and list extensions written by Automattic as well as by trusted partners and third-party developers. And the official blog post says that there are thousands of excellent WooCommerce extensions available on the .org repository and on the web, but there are also many that are not audited and put stores at risk. So they're trying to help them by suggesting plugins that have been audited that are available on their particular marketplace. And they say that from based on their customer survey, they see that WooCommerce is being used on a growing number of entrepreneurs and small business websites, and that this segment relies on extensions to customize their stores, and they anticipate that the contextual suggestions will be of service primarily to them. Now, they go into how to manage suggestions, how to dismiss them, how to get rid of them. They also give you a technical look behind the scenes about phoning home advertising, hijacking the admin dashboard. Apparently, everything that they're doing here is kosher. Again, according to the WordPress.org plugin guidelines, they've been in contact with the plugin guideline moderators. So there's that. There is something interesting here that I saw, and there's a ticket on GitHub about this. It's the frequency of showing these suggestions, and that is they'll only show one on the product screen and five on the product empty state orders, empty state or edit product meta box. And they say that each suggestion is dismissible, but if you, it says they're only showing one suggestion at a time, but if a customer dismisses that suggestion, they won't see it for another 24 hours. And if they dismiss it five times, they won't see it for a month. So someone in the GitHub discussion said they should change the word dismissable to snooze, because essentially, that's what you're doing, is hitting the snooze button.
Right. Snooze button, and I don't want to see that crap on those screens. Right? Like,
Here we go again.
Right. It's the same thing. If you want to manage your store, you want to add a new product, you want to edit an existing product, you want to look at the list of products you have, do not suggest in the middle of my products or on my edit product page something else you want me to buy. This is my website. This is my store. I'm in my dashboard. Get it. Stay out of here. Get out of here. I get it. I get what people are trying to do, but this is the wrong way to do it. And once you start doing it, you won't. Everyone's going to do it, and there's going to be no stopping it. So this is a bad deal, I think, in a lot of ways. Like, there are places where these recommendations do belong, but they don't belong intermingled with.
They don't belong in the dashboard, is what you're saying. They don't belong in the back end of your.
That's right.
Sanctified area, you know, your safe space, or supposed safe space.
Right. Like, imagine it, ask a developer if every time they pushed a commit, if GitHub responded and recommended Microsoft Office 365. Like, should Microsoft have the ability to upsell their other services? Sure. Does it belong in your command line interface for GitHub when you push code commits? No. Like, this is one of those areas where these recommendations don't belong. But once you put them in there, you can't get rid of them because you're going to start to have stats and data to monetize and see. You're going to measure against what you did instead of measuring, and you can't go back to zero because you're going to see, oh, we've got click-throughs, we've got upsells, we've got recommended sales coming off of these pages. And so you can't remove them now because that means you're eliminating a source of traffic or revenue. And so by putting these things in these pages now, you can never take them out without risking people's livelihoods by removing the income that people depend on from click-throughs on meta boxes in edit pages. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's a big mistake for a lot of reasons that is going to happen that there's nothing we can do about it.
So you and I were WordPress veterans, and a lot of the feedback and criticisms, harsh criticisms on Twitter have been from plugin developers, other veterans, mm-hmm. mostly from the dev crowd. Our end users, I haven't seen, and many of those people are also users, but mm-hmm. I mean, the typical end user, the general end user, are these suggestions, are they really harmful to them? I mean, that's what I want to know. So, I think it's too soon to tell if the end user is really the one that becomes a casualty of all this.
So I think that that's a valuable question because in my opinion, and I always, and any code that I write or any of the plugins or products that we build, like I kind of have it in my list of reminders to others that users are extremely tolerant. And so on the flip side of that coin is someone will say that people hate change. And I hate that phrase because I don't really think it's true. I think users hate the wrong change, and they will make it very clear that they do not like the change if it is wrong. But if it's not wrong, they will tolerate it. They might not like it, but they will tolerate it in the same way that, like, you know, you go to McDonald's, you order a cheeseburger with no pickles, and it comes out with pickles. You tolerate it. You don't go in and complain, and maybe you do, but I think most people don't go in. They unless you have an allergy, unless you have a severe issue, you just tolerate it. Like, there are a million things in the world that, like, we all just tolerate as users, and I think WordPress users and WordPress admin are no different. They will tolerate a lot of things. But, like, there are some things that in WordPress admin, we have been very lucky that we have, as a community, all respected the sanctity of, you know, the search results, the editing experience, the publishing experience, not to quote Morten too much in every episode, but he has warned us against, you know, folks that are bad actors that are doing things for themselves to monetize and push their own agendas through, and not to be too tinfoil hat about it, but, like, some of these things start to look and feel like that. They break the sanctity of areas of WordPress admin that we have built up to be trusted, reliable interfaces to keep your site going.
You know, I'm picturing just a WordPress backend where you have about 50 plugins installed, and you go to the publish screen, and there's a meta box that says you have five posts left available. Please give us a microtransaction of $2.99 to get five more posts to get published.
No kidding,
microtransactions,
right?
Like, in WordPress.
Right. Or there's, like, a countdown timer, like an arcade game, that you've got 10 seconds to insert another 25 cents before you're going to be locked out.
I mean, we joke about it, but
I mean,
it's a lot closer to reality than it is a joke.
I agree.
It seems that way.
People are working towards it. That's the thing, is like really smart, really talented people that really think that they are on the right side of this are building these things with their direction or justification.
Well, look, it's not entirely the developer and the ecosystem's fault, because I don't believe WordPress has things built into place to sort of support all these ecosystems. I mean, there's the there's the plugin directory, which hosts free plugins, and then the plugin plugin dev within that plugin, you know, within the user screens or the notices, they then have to come up with their own methods of upselling and advertising. And
so
it doesn't seem like there's a core thing that all the developers can latch onto that's supported and trustworthy. Everybody has to create their own thing, which has led to this exhausting, this fatigue of all these notices and advertisements and screens and hijacking the damn news widget so that it shows news posts from your site, you know?
Right. Like I agree. I mean, like, because WordPress core hasn't really adapted to the types of plugins that do create their own economies. You know, WooCommerce really is its own economy. Easy Digital Downloads, Gravity Forms. You know, like there are a number of plugins that have had to really reinvent themselves and reinvent a bunch of core features in their own way. I'm reminded of like Page Lines. Do you remember Page Lines? It was like one of the first original, like, before pre-customizer, like theme options. They just built their own front end UI for editing site content. Like you'd click on the Page Lines edit screen, and you had what was at for the time like a pretty beautiful and sophisticated layout. Framework of dragging and dropping all your pieces around and adding and editing your site. They were 10 years ahead of their time. They were right to have in the direction that things were going. They were just too much too soon. But like all of this, the WooCommerce ads, the Jetpack bumping itself to the search results, and heck, even Pipdig deactivating competing plugins, like all of that, like it reminds me of something that somebody probably other than me has said, and I don't know where I would have gotten it from, but like if you cheat, you will win. Like if everyone else is on a level playing field and everyone else is doing the right thing, and you cheat, and no one notices, then you will win because you have done something better than what everyone else was able to do. And so for a really long time, like this was, and this is, I mean, still continues to be a thing with like NASCAR, any car racing, any motorcycle racing, like,
even running marathons.
Right. Like the thing with race cars generally, especially like at professional level, is that there are very strict guidelines in regards to like what kind of configuration that cars can have. Engines, aerodynamics, tires, wheels, gears, everything. Like very strict, like pre-race inspections on everything to make sure that you're not running too much downforce, that you're not using too sticky tires or whatever else, right? But the one car that's able to like just do a little bit better is gonna win. Like think of like a, I was just having a conversation with a friend about this like randomly, but like imagine like here in Wisconsin, up in Green Bay, shout out to Lisa Saba Wilson, if Lambeau Field was like 2 degrees higher on one side than the other, like that would mean that whoever is on that side of the field is literally playing uphill. It's not a lot, but it's a little bit, where if you know that your field, if you know that your court, if you know that something is in your favor and against that other person, you will win. Like, and so all of these kind of setups of what people are learning is how to cheat so that they win. And I don't like it because all the guidelines on WordPress.org are intended not to keep the playing field level for businesses, but to keep users happy. And so once we start cheating so that Jetpack wins or WooCommerce wins or Pipdig wins, we're only cheating users. We're cheating WordPress and the people that use it. And so this is the reason that I think that this stuff bothers me a lot is because, you know, we've all spent a lot of time not cheating. And now people are coming in and cheating, and then people are kind of okay with it, which is unbelievable.
I know one person who's not okay with it. Shout out to Carl Hancock.
Carl Hancock, that's right. Carl's also not okay with it. And, you know,
there's a comment by Stephen Cronin that I thought was interesting. That's a little bit of an aside to this, where he says that, quote, "The point is you are allowing a precedent that would be followed outside of WordPress.org, and when host marketplaces, premium products, subscription services, etc., all start overwriting the search results, you'll be able to say, well, this has nothing to do with WordPress.org. We can't control them, so, hey, you know, it's not our problem. Mm-hmm. But it will have been your decision to allow this on WordPress.org that led them to follow suit," end quote. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, that's rather interesting.
Yep. Yep, John Brown had some good comments on it too. There were some good comments, but yeah, this is I don't like it. I don't like what's happening with any of those things. And I mean, it's, you know, it's someone's gonna do it, and it is gonna happen. But I hope that.
Are you surprised that this hasn't happened sooner? Or has it?
Who knows? I mean, I don't know that it has.
I mean, I would have thought that I would have known about it, or somebody would have pointed it out. And as far as like a suggestion on how to drive more business or traffic, somebody would have written about it, and then we would have discussed whether it was kosher or not. But after all these years, it takes Jetpack to do this. That is this the first time it's being done? Because it seems like kind of a genius, as you would say, depending on the implementation, it's sort of a kind of a bit of a genius idea.
It is very clever. It is very clever. The plugin repo looking like cards has only been in there for a few years now. Otherwise, it was always just a list table.
Yeah, just a list
table. And so when it was just a list table, it was just less. It was just wasn't as nice looking, and so there. I don't think anyone really thought to inject anything in there because it was not a nice looking interface on those screens anyways. Now that it's
inject
cards,
ugly with more ugly.
Right. Now that it's cards, and now a card is kind of this, 2010 universal UI for whatever you want it to be, that it could be an ad, it could be a profile page, it could be a plugin, it could be a theme. It's got a image, a title, a subtitle, description, links, it's all the same layout in a card. And so I think now it's just more attractive. And so this is probably the first time that this has happened. But this is not the first time that Jetpack, or that we have talked about Jetpack doing something that doesn't seem right. Like the
you bring that up, and I thought, let's talk about this. So there have been things in the past that Jetpack has done, and from the same crowd, they're saying, well, here we go again. Jetpack is skirting the rules. They're able to do things on the plugin repo that nobody else would be able to get away with, that Automattic is using its prowess to, or its influence to subvert guidelines or rules. But then the WordPress plugin review team says, no, they're not actually violating any guidelines. And if any other plugin wants to do this, we can review it on a case-by-case basis and potentially allow it. So all this time, technically Jetpack has not violated any guidelines, but as you say, it seems like they're on that line. They're always on that razor thin line.
Yeah, they really, truly are.
At any moment, they could tip over to one side or the other.
They are on the line.
Are there any plugins on the plugin repo that are like Jetpack? Because I can't think of any.
No, there's really not. And because generally the ones that have tried, they were too app store like. You know, they were too much of a like a portal into the other remote code repositories, and then got pulled. But a lot of what Jetpack has done, it really is like a semantic technicality of like, is it really against the rules? It's not really. I mean, if you read it this way, it's not against the rules. And then everyone's like, oh, yeah, I guess. Okay. And then that's it. Like, the rules are just open to interpretation like anything else. And so,
yeah, they are guidelines, not hard and set rules.
Yep. And so, it is their semantics. And so, the reason no one has done the Jetpack style approach to things is because,
Maybe it makes no sense for them. They don't have the capital, the back end, the server power. I mean, Jetpack, they're using the related post, their CDN, the image caching, image shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
They're using a lot of the modules tie into their server infrastructure that's available on WordPress.com, which mm-hmm. is not something. This is not a luxury many people have millions of dollars of investment.
Well, and it reminds me a lot of like some of the stuff that, I mean, I'm kind of trying to do with like our new house a little bit. And like at our old house, we had some Nest cameras, and they are great cameras. They are amazing cameras. We had one at the front door. We had one to look at the dogs. We had one down in the basement utility room. The
video quality of that woman stealing your metal goat. That was great by Nest.
It was great. It was raining and it was 4 a.m. and it still was a great video, right? And so like Nests are great cameras. And they solve a problem. They definitely, as a user, solved some of the problems that I had. But at the expense of a annual fee and trusting Google and Nest with my camera footage. Those were compromises that I made because I hadn't invested or tried to have better gear. But in our new house, we're installing all like you on-site cameras that live and record only in the house. And that is, frankly, what self-hosted WordPress represents. It is your WordPress site that is, on your web host. It might be Liquid Web or Pantheon or whoever's hosting your site, but it's your WordPress website. And so Jetpack is the cloud. They are the third-party service that keeps all of your things for you, sometimes at a yearly or monthly expense. Automattic is building a bunch of cloud-based services for WordPress, which is a brilliant strategy for the people that do want those services. Cloud-based resizable images, video press, backups, Akismet, like all the things that they've got really are things that are difficult to run on your own self-hosted WordPress site. The heuristics for Akismet are not something that currently are easily passed around. Processing and hosting your own video is not something that most web hosts have designed or their architecture for. And so it is easier to pay for a service. And that is probably most people. But I myself personally believe pretty strongly in that with the right pieces, these are things that we can all do ourselves. We can host these things ourselves. We should be empowered not only to democratize publishing, but to have and really respect the privacy of our comments, our posts, our videos, our music, whatever it is that we're hosting, which is why you have a WooCommerce store on your own server. But having your store ping back all the time to go get irrelevant ads from the WooCommerce servers totally goes against the idea of hosting my own content in my own WooCommerce store. Searching, asking a remote service like WordPress.org for help in finding a plugin, and then having Jetpack give me something else kind of goes against the idea that, like, I want to host my own site, and I want to trust that what I'm doing is for myself.
I'm seeing a contextual ad here that says blog on Medium. I don't know what that's all about.
or switch to Ghost. We can all just switch to Ghost.
Oh.
Props to John O'Nola. So long story short, the reason that nobody's done the Jetpack approach to things is because no one really is investing that heavily in a cloud infrastructure for the remote kind of services like Automattic really is built on. Automattic is built on Akismet. It is built on VideoPress. It is built on PolDaddy. It's built on Gravatar. It's built on these remote things that are services tacked around and built on top of WordPress. And so no one really truly in the WordPress space that I can think of immediately off the top of my head does everything that way. Everyone is doing it like the event, the calendar. Modern Tribe is, you own a calendar. They tried having a SaaS for a calendar. I'm not sure how successful it is because I haven't talked to the Modern Tribe folks in a while. But you know, people are trying to get out there. You know, there's opportunity for other folks to move and break out of the WordPress space with their things that they're working on and doing. But long story short, again, I think there's value, is that the longevity is in owning it and hosting it. And so that's why all of these stories we're talking about today just feel so wrong, because they're not about owning it or hosting it. They're about letting someone else intercept your content and try and suggest something for you.
All right. You're not allowed to do that, by the way. You said long story short twice.
Twice. I did
that's,
say it
that's
twice.
That's inappropriate.
Is a long story long and then longer is all.
Long story short, too long, didn't listen.
That's right.
we wanted to.
Everyone else put the podcast on 2x speed to get through that.
Oh, right. That's right. I forgot. Many people do that. Whew, thank goodness for that. I didn't want to wrap up the show here by talking about what I feel is an important story. In fact, I found this to be more important than what's going on with Jetpack. But it's a post published on April 1st. It was not a joke by Carol Olinger, who is the wife of Elaine Schlesser, who's been doing a lot of work in the back end with WordPress and the white screen of death prevention, you know, sort of safety mechanisms in WordPress. But Carol published a post where she talks about how she has decided to stop her activities as a WordPress community manager for Plesk, a job that she's been doing a lot with joy and passion. Her contract ended on March 31st, and she says that she will refrain from all contributions inside the WordPress project, which she has already started to do in the past few months. And she goes into detail about some of the physical and mental health issues that she's encountered, including depression. And so she's been dealing with that. But the part that gets me is when she talks about the WordPress project and her inner conflict. And she helped organize a WordCamp retreat. She stepped up to the plate and was an MC for WordCamp Europe, I believe. She volunteered MC'd WordCamp Europe 2017. She's a co-organizer of for 2018. And there were some issues, I think, that took place with the team, and they were nominating people to be part of the organizing team. And she dealt with some communication issues from people within the project. I don't know who, but she had been told that Her ideas and suggestions were mind-blowing to create an awareness team for inclusion and diversity at WordCamp Europe 2019. But she had gotten rejected, and this was after being ignored, she says, for about 10 weeks. But one of the things that really irked me is that she was told that her passion and performances from the past 2 years were remarkable and exceptional, but that it could make other people around her feel uncomfortable, and that might make her not the best fit for a team. And she says that she was shocked, which, you know, can't blame her. And she's never gotten any negative feedback or constructive criticism in the 2 years that she's been working with the other WordCamp EU organizers. And she asked some great questions like, well, what does that mean? Does it mean stop being awesome to make others feel better about their own performance? And she wonders if she would have been told the exact same reasons if she was a man and not a woman. And I just read this, and it's, first of all, it really upsets me that Carol, within the past 3 years, she stepped up from being behind the scenes to being the MC, to being a co-organizer, to being told that because she's been so awesome that she might make somebody feel uncomfortable, and so she's not a good fit for the team. Like, you were so awesome at what you do, yet that's the reason why you're not going to be on the team. So, how dumb is that? I don't know what's going on here, but to me, it immediately comes across as somebody's man feelings got hurt. Or they didn't, or it was a man or multiple men who felt uncomfortable with her awesomeness or her presence. And so, therefore, she was not allowed to be on the team. Now, that's speculation on my part, by the way. it sucks that this is happening. You know, those people who are on that team, whoever made this decision, should not be in a position to make these decisions based on that rationale. It's really stupid. And I don't understand why this keeps happening to people in the WordPress community, especially women, where they have so much to give to the WordPress project, and they give a lot, and then somehow, some way, they end up getting crapped on and thrown out of the conversation, thrown out of the community. And they just, it's becoming, it's happening more often.
It is. Well, it's
very troubling, and I don't know what's going on.
It is a thing that has always happened, though. Like,
yes, you're right. It's just
more people are just
maybe
talking,
they're more
about
vocal.
It.
Okay, I guess
that's right.
I guess that's what it is.
But so
it,
when I,
it still bothers
when I,
me.
When I read her post, I'm happy that we're talking about it because obviously, hi Carol. The thing that is the most heartbreaking is that her introduction and her giving WordCamp talks was always about how warm and welcoming the WordPress community has always been. Because like you said, Jeff, she was sort of hesitant about entering the space and getting involved, but then she found out that when she did, it was really amazing. And so for a really long time, she has been a very vocal advocate for people getting involved with CORE, with WordCamps, with the educational side of it, stressing sort of the mental health side of it, and the just the being very communicative about the things that are affecting everyone and that are going on. And so, you know, the he said, she said part of it is less interesting to me as much as the fact that kind of once again someone who was a very strong advocate, who had a very warm and welcoming couple of years, ran into one person or several people that weren't they weren't compatible with, and the other people won. And so that has happened many times. It happens every day when someone's idea on Core Track doesn't get accepted, or when somebody's WordCamp talk gets rejected with no feedback as to why. You know, like it happens. We've talked about it on the show multiple times when it has happened to other people. And so this isn't anything new. But at the same time, like, when you are looking holistically at how you feel and how it has made you feel, and things like your stress levels, your health, your other probably generally more important things than doing a WordCamp. All the comments on her blog post all probably echo what I'm about to say, which is, and I should probably take my own advice, but you've got to look out for number one first and take care of yourself and put your own oxygen mask on before you can help others. And then once you're feeling better, then you are able to come back twice as strong and with a vengeance. And hopefully by then, the people that offended her or hurt her, or that she kind of didn't let her succeed, aren't around anymore. They have been found out and fizzled out. Her question about if she would have been treated the same if she was if it was a man or a woman, I think is like, I have experienced that. I know other men that have experienced this, but I think it probably happens to women more than men, just by nature of the world.
Not just in WordPress, but everywhere in every industry.
Right,
it's a problem.
It's a big, big problem. We've talked about it many times on the show.
And she says that she wants to remain in the WordPress community, but on a smaller scale. She says it's because of the people that I initially joined the WordPress community, and it's the people that make me want to stay. So at the moment, she's not going to be professionally involved or actively contribute to the community. And of course, she needs to take this time off because of the mental health issues and some of the things that she is dealing with. So I said this on Twitter, and I'll say it here. Carol, thank you very much for all of your contributions to WordPress, its community, and the people. You did an awesome job. And I just think it's really crappy that because you did such an awesome job, that was a valid reason. Somebody or group of people thought that was a valid reason to not have you on the team, which is just a load of crap. I don't care.
It seems pretty
I don't really
silly.
Care who you are. If that's a valid reason to not get a promotion, to not be part of a team, to not involve that person somehow, it irks me.
So we dealt with that with our builder on the house. Like our point of contact told us that he wasn't allowed to reprimand or to scold any of the subcontractors because it makes them feel bad. And I was like, well, I want them to feel bad. They did a bad job. Like someone has to tell them they did a bad job. And he's like, well, I can't do it. If you want to do it, you can, but I'm not allowed to do it anymore. And I'm like, that's your job. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Like, and then part of my WordCamp, Miami talk, and this, I mean, I didn't, I wanted to bring it up, but it's kind of me shoehorning it in a little bit, but I guess I'll tie it all back together, is like, there was a slide in my WordCamp Miami talk where I basically had to like admit that I'm not the future of WordPress, you know, like I'm not the person who's pushing WordPress forward into new revolutionary things. And so for me, for both of us, Jeff, I guess, like we've been doing WordPress for a really long time, and we're able to be pundits, I guess. We can talk about it historically and kind of see the direction that things are going, but our ability to influence it probably diminishing, you know, because people are working on newer, different things. And so maybe it could be that with the rapid pace of WordCamps growing, the educational part of it growing, the code base growing, maybe there's a little bit of a clock, you know, maybe someone's ability to really get their things done is only 2 or 3 or 4 years before everyone kind of knows what they've got to offer and is ready for something new.
We need a bunch of new young blood who don't want to take this crap anymore.
Yeah, a little bit.
Gonna make things right. So with all that said, Carol, take care of yourself. Get well soon. Look after yourself, and hopefully sooner rather than later, we see you back at it on the WordCamp circuit or as a great contributor to the WordPress community.
I agree.
And with that, unless you have anything to add or talk about, because we're almost we're past an hour here, but I think that's going to do it for this week's show.
I think so too.
All right, so John does not like messing around with search results in the plugin area. So, so don't do it. That's like the informational show that used to show up on TVs on Saturday morning, Schoolhouse Rock or something.
Schoolhouse Rock, I remember that.
Oh, and that after school special. Not? Do not alter, say no to drugs, and do not alter plugin search results.
Well, plugin search results, theme search results. I mean, you know,
stay out of his safe space.
Right.
That's gonna do it for
could you imagine though? I mean, well, you imagine your search results. You search for users and all of a sudden there's just some random account that doesn't belong there that, oh well, here's a user you should invite. Here's a friend of yours that we got out of your comments that you should make a user account. Like, no, there's like a ton of things that you could do that you shouldn't do. Okay. You brought it up again. I'm gonna
talk about you're talking about the spirit.
Yes.
Let's talk about the spirit of not doing things. So you can find out show notes for this episode and all of our episodes on WPTavern.com. You can follow me on Twitter, where there's always some good stuff going on. JEFFR0 and John.
JJJ.blog, GitHub, and I guess Twitter at JJJ. But I'm really trying not to tweet. And I'm deleting all my tweets. They're not any good. Nobody should read them.
Well, that's sad. I'm going to turn into a sad panda. And for all the latest information about what's going on in the WordPress land, check out WPTavern.com. Sarah's been doing an awesome job. She did. If you haven't seen it yet, you have to read her her piece on what's going on with Pip Day, because it's very well done. And it was cool to see some of the comments compliment her on that piece.
It was a good article.
Everybody, stay safe out there. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon. Say bye, John.
Bye, John.